now, let the show begin.
Hi, this is Linda Thompson, your host for The Author's Show. The recent economic downturn hurt a lot of people, and for them, it all seemed like a really bad dream. Guest author Jim Mascara equates it to the Wizard of Oz. In his book, Escaping Oz, Navigating the Crisis, he helps readers understand economic issues so they can weather the coming years. This is a pretty heavy subject, so let's bring in the expert. Jim, welcome to The Author's Show.
Linda, thanks for having me on this morning.
Jim, give us a quick overview of Escaping Oz.
Escaping Oz, Navigating the Crisis, Linda, is a successor to a book, actually, that I wrote 4 years ago called Escaping Oz, Preparing Your Wealth, Protecting Your Wealth During the Financial Crisis. I try to take people through, the first part of the book is called The Journey, trying to understand some of the origins of our problems that we have today. And I think that's something that tends to get overlooked. Sometimes you need to kind of go back to the fundamentals. If you think about when you first learned mathematics, you didn't jump into algebra before you had the fundamentals of math underneath that. So I try to talk about some of the fundamental problems that exist and root cause analysis. Talk a little about topics like inflation that people have heard about. Deflation is something that I mentioned in my first book 4 years ago. I predicted that would be something that people would hear a lot more about in the news. And if you do Google searches now, you'll see that that's a term that's searched for more often. There's also an aspect of the book that has people reflect back on what are known as cycles. And cycles are things that are events that recur. And people understand cycles from the standpoint of, tides, human gestational periods and things like that, but they don't really associate cycles with things happening in the financial markets. Also important to understand human behavior and how investors think about things. There's a reason why that there's speculative bubbles and manias, and a lot of that is hardwired into who we are as human beings. There's another part of the book that I call the crisis, which is how did we get into it? What did the government do? The Federal Reserve has been a very large participant in this as well. And the last part of the book, which is I call Preparing Our Escape, deals with some things like the banking industry, real estate, stocks, bonds, and how is the current crisis going to affect those particular sectors, and what should you do individually to try to prepare and, again, to navigate that crisis.
What inspired you to write the book?
I guess my greatest source of inspiration came from the fact that years ago I started trying to understand a little bit more about the financial markets. I was actively trading commodities. I was in the futures markets. And I began to, again, kind of form my own personal, financial or economic model as to how things develop. When I had another job in what I'll call corporate America, I saw people investing, and I could see that some of the reasons they were investing in certain things, I don't think they really understood. I could see some bubbles developing back in 98, 99, 2000, when we had the internet tech bubble. And I would ask people questions, and I would kind of gauge their responses, and I could see that there really wasn't an understanding that they even knew why they did some of the things that they did. And then, again, over the course of time, I could kind of foresee certain things happening in the real estate market. So I thought it was important to write a book and put it in a language that people could understand, try to take it out of that esoteric realm of what people maybe learned about when they were in high school or college about economics, and again, try to place it in a more practical realm, take you through historically some of the things that happened, maybe why they happened, and as I mentioned earlier, have a good understanding of how human psychology plays a role in all this.
Did you write Escaping Oz, Navigating the Crisis with a particular type of reader in mind?
Certainly it's not a book that's targeted at children or maybe even teens, just because those people don't necessarily haven't accumulated any money or wealth. But anybody that I would say is of adult age could certainly benefit from it. If you're just starting out in life as a working stiff, very important to understand how you want to invest your money, how you need to save your money. Maybe people that are closer to their 30s, 40s, maybe even 50s, they're maybe thinking about, I've got a plan for my child's education. If you're in the retirement realm, so maybe you're above 55, 60, that age group, very, very important, because you may be relying on a fixed retirement income now. You may be reliant on income that's coming from state government, local government, and there are retirement plans that are tied there to individuals, and those retirement plans actually are at great risk right now, and they are very terribly underfunded. So to have an understanding of what's going on economically, again, for those retirees, how their retirement accounts may be impacted by this crisis and how you need to handle it.
Is there another author that you feel may have influenced your writing style?
Not so much my writing style, but I will cite probably one of my, I guess, author mentors, if you will, from many, many years ago when I traded commodities. There was an author by the name of W.D. Gann. He actually was probably in the early part of the 20th century, developed some, I mean, this is very kind of technical stuff for somebody that's looking at charts and trading commodities and things of that nature. He really formed a lot of my ideas on how to read markets from looking at charts. I'm also partial to the Austrian economist von Mises, who wrote some very, very seriously long books, one called Human Action, on the economy, financial markets, you know, how people act, you know, what government's role should be in the financial markets. I would say he was definitely an influence from an economics perspective, not necessarily from a style perspective, but certainly economics and having that understanding.
What do you hope your readers will come away with after reading your book?
What I hope is that whenever they, after they read the book and they're listening to something on the news, they're able to kind of create that cause and effect. I think that's really, really important because there's many things that get reported in the news. And for the average listener, it's probably something they just kind of gloss over. And, you know, let's face it, I think for many people, you know, the topic of economics and, you know, what's going on in the economy, while it is, you know, very affecting to them, it may not be something that's terribly interesting. It's not as interesting as, you know, watching your local sports team or watching what's going on The Bachelor or, you know, one of the other reality shows. But in reality, it has a much greater importance because it'll affect your financial future. So I want people to be very, very educated. And there's actually a chapter, Linda, that I included in this book and I called What Should Government Be? Because I think as a citizenry, we've asked government to do a lot. And we've asked government to kind of take a lot of risk out of our lives. And because of that, there's costs that are attendant to that. And I just don't think people have associated one with the other. And, you know, part of the discussion on what I call navigating that crisis is having an understanding of, you know, what should government really do versus what they were really chartered to do. And are we willing as a society to pay for those things that we've asked government to do? And if we're not, then we need to basically restructure, you know, what our definition of government is, and not just at the federal level, but, you know, also the state level.
I couldn't agree with that more. I tend to think that seem to believe that money just grows on trees, and to fix our infrastructure that's falling apart, we just go out and pluck a tree, and that isn't going to work. So what would you think the greatest problem facing the U.S. and world economy is?
Well, it's a four-letter word, and it spells debt, D-E-B-T. And part of the problem that we've had, it's kind of continuously overhanging our economy. Since 1982, I've identified that as kind of the start of the what I'll call the great credit bubble and the great credit expansion. Of course, the other side of credit is debt. So once credit gets issued, you need to pay that back some way or the other. And if it doesn't get paid back, then it goes into default or some other, maybe a benign form of restructure, which basically tells you that the creditor's not getting all the money back that they anticipated. So until we really address those problems, and the business that I'm in now, which is small business debt restructuring and capital acquisition, kind of acknowledges the fact that a lot of small businesses in this country face some serious cash flow issues, sometimes crushing debt problems. If you take that and expand that to the macro economy, expand that to government finances, you realize that between the funded debt that at least the United States has, which is roughly around $18 trillion, and then take the unfunded liabilities, there's a lot of expectation there of a repayment. And I don't believe that our economy has the capacity to organically grow its way enough to help pay all that back and meet all those covenants. So that is it's certainly issue number one that would have to be addressed as we navigate through the crisis.
Do you feel there's a magic solution to the financial problem?
No, and that's, I think that's part of the problem, that most investors, even individual citizens, you know, they see things coming from government, they see things coming from the Federal Reserve or central banks across the world, and that's the wizard complex. You see this person behind the curtain that's operating and pushing buttons and pulling levers and doing all kinds of things, and the result of that is that, you know, we've accumulated more debt. The problems aren't necessarily resolving themselves, but yet people have placed a lot of blind faith in that. You know, the word Toto, which was, you know, of course, a character in The Wizard of Oz. If you remember Toto, he pulled back the curtain, you know, with his teeth, And then all of a sudden, the wizard was revealed as what? Just a very ordinary person. And that's one of the things that I want people to understand, is that there are no magical solutions. There is no wizard that's, you know, behind the curtain. It's simply ordinary people, ordinary men and ordinary women. They don't have any special powers, but we place so much blind faith on them that there's an expectation of a solution, which ultimately will not come.
What is your view of our economic recovery as it stands now?
The economy in around 2007 to 2009, so fall of 2007 to the spring of 2009, obviously experienced a pretty good contraction. It was manifested with more people unemployed. There was the failure of some very large investment banks like Lehman Brothers. That was kind of all the headline stuff. Government and central banks, the wizards, they stepped in to try to help out. The general economy recognized that something was going on, and they retrenched. And that's typically what happens during recessions, or in more severe cases, depressions. Are, you know, businesses and people retrench. They understand that there are financial problems, so they take a step back. The wizards did the opposite. They actually took a step forward. And then that step forward that they took has created the impression that certain economic measures have improved, which they have. But underneath all that, you have this edifice of debt. And so if you look at the amount of debt that's been created versus the economic benefit that's transpired as a result of the debt, you really haven't gotten the bang for your buck. And one of the things that's really happened, that's kind of a popular topic in discussion here in the last year, is this issue of income inequality. You actually have created more income inequality over the course of the last few years, no doubt because of the actions of the wizards.
Where can our audience learn more about you, your work, and most of all, where can we purchase Escaping Oz, Navigating the Crisis?
Well, my business of Sentinel Consulting is a small business, debt restructuring and capital acquisition business. That's under sentinelconsulting.biz. Again, we target small and mid-sized businesses that need financing, that they aren't able to obtain financing from their commercial banking sector, or may need some debt mediation. So again, that's sentinelconsulting.biz. My book website is called escapingoz.com. There you can learn more about me. There's a little biographical information, a little excerpt from the book, some other avenues from where you can purchase it. You can purchase it from me directly if you want, and I can give you a signed copy. Obviously, it's available on Amazon, as many other books are, and also Create Space.
Jim, I want to thank you for coming on the show and for sharing this very important message with us.
Linda, thanks a lot for having me this morning.
As Jim says in his submission package, this could be one of the most important books you will read in the next few years. An understanding of the economic issues will be essential as economics and politics continue to intersect in the future. If you don't understand these issues, the country will not escape the financial land of Oz.